This podcast was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, January the 9th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Forms and Multimedia Director for SMA News Today. LM-1070, otherwise known as branaplam, a candidate oral therapy under development by Novartis, is being tested in a phase 1/2 clinical trial for infants with spinal muscular atrophy type 1. A recent study describes how the compound was discovered from a large screen for SMN2 modulators in a nerve cell model, followed by several rounds of chemical optimization to increase potency and brain targeting capacity while minimizing toxicity. The study, Discovery of Small Molecule Splicing Modulators of SMN2 for the Treatment of Spinal Muscular Atrophy, was published in the Journal of Medicinal Chemistry. The approval of Biogen Spinraza, otherwise known as nusinersen, was a breakthrough for SMA patients, and it remains the only approved treatment for the disease. However, other pharmaceutical companies are developing alternative approaches, such as gene therapy, or compounds that work on the same principle as Spinraza, but with improved pharmacological properties, meaning better route of administration, improved potency, or fewer side effects. Similar to Spinraza, LM-1070 increases the amount of functional SMN protein produced by modulating the expression of the SMN2 gene, specifically by targeting a process called splicing. DNA is first transformed into pre-messenger RNA, or what they call pre-mRNA, which is then processed to create a mature messenger RNA molecule. This process is called RNA splicing. Once messenger RNA molecules are produced, a process called translation begins and gives rise to proteins. During splicing, introns, the part of the pre-messenger RNA that does not code for proteins, are removed, and exons, the part that does, are joined together. This phenomenon allows for a single gene to give rise to many different proteins. By altering this mechanism, LM-1070 enables the SMN2 gene to produce more copies of a full-length functional survival motor neuron, or what they call SMN protein, the faulty protein in people with SMA. LM-1070 was discovered by Novartis after screening some 1.4 million compounds for those that could increase the production of SMN protein in a nerve cell model, in vitro, in a laboratory dish. The present study describes how this screening was done and how the lead compound was developed. Starting from the best hit identified in the screening, called pyridazine, researchers in Novartis initiated an optimization program where they performed small chemical changes to the molecule to see if they could optimize its properties. Their efforts were focused on maximizing cellular potency, improving in vitro exposure through reducing clearance and increasing permeability of the compound, in particular, its ability to reach the brain. One of their main goals was to reduce the compound's toxicity. Researchers observed that the initial molecule, pyridazine, was toxic because it bound to a protein important for heart function, called HERG. As such, they tried to alter its chemical structure to reduce its affinity with this protein. After several rounds of chemical testing and the creation of multiple modified drug versions, one lead compound, LM-1070, was taken forward for efficacy studies in a mouse model of SMA with early onset and severe disease. LM-1070 was the candidate that better balanced low toxicity with greater potency and a favorable pharmacokinetic profile, uptake, distribution, metabolism, and clearance by the body, in particular, an improved ability to enter the brain. Importantly, mice with severe SMA that began receiving oral treatments with LM-1070 a few days after birth began to produce greater amounts of SMN protein in the brain, which translated into weight gain and extended lifespan. Splicing modulation via oral administration of small molecule SMN2 splicing modulators was a viable therapeutic strategy for the treatment of SMA, researchers said. These promising preclinical results supported the progression of LM-1070 into clinical trials. Novartis is conducting a phase 1/2 open-label study to test oral treatment with LM-1070 in infants up to 6 months who are clinically diagnosed with SMA type 1. The study aims to evaluate the safety, tolerability, pharmacological properties, and efficacy of LM1070 after a 13-week treatment period, and to estimate the maximum tolerated dose and identify a regimen considered safe for long-term use. The trial is recruiting and estimates to enroll 44 children. After a 2-year pause because of safety concerns, on September 20, 2017, Novartis announced that the company was resuming enrollment in Europe, where different doses of LM1070 are being tested. The company has also modified the trial design, giving participants a choice of receiving their weekly dose of branaplam orally instead of via a feeding tube, which was the only option when the trial began. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today community editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, January 8, 2019. The Cruelty and Complexity of SMA. In Season 5 of the FX series Sons of Anarchy, main character Jax Teller watches his best friend Opie die in a prison fight. It's a brutal scene that features some of the show's defining elements: Shakespearean drama, graphic violence, and the sense of brotherhood that unites the members of the motorcycle club Sam Crow. Plus, Charlie Hunnam and Ryan Hurst's performances here make this one of the most memorable scenes in the entire series. I'm an unabashed Sons fan. Despite its myriad of incoherent subplots and storylines that took the writers forever to conclude, the wildly popular biker drama from creator Kurt Sutter is one of my favorites. For me, at least, something about how the show merged hard-hitting character drama with a world of pulp fiction is what kept me invested in Jax's story. Sutter and his crew managed to turn a bunch of worthless thugs into an ensemble of compelling characters with arcs, emotions, and a sense of unshakable brotherhood. That said, when one member of Sam Crow died, the whole gang was shaken. By now you're probably wondering why I went with this introduction. About a week before Christmas, I lost a friend who also had SMA. It's not the first time this has happened, but his death hit me particularly hard. Carson Berry, whom I interviewed for this site last year, was a lot like me. Rather than wallow in misery, he had a knack for turning his situations and struggles into jokes. A few years ago on New Year's Eve, he updated his Facebook status to New Year's Resolution, Learn How to Walk. Then a few months ago, when he was in the hospital and on all kinds of medications, he still had enough wit to post, Mission Sit Rep Day Doesn't Matter. My surgery to get feeding tube failed today, so we will wait until Thursday when OR surgeon will slice me open. On the bright side, my nurse is really hot. I liked Carson and his subversive humor right away. Our families met years ago, and we reconnected on Facebook in 2016. Though we lived in different states and only saw each other in person once in the last few years, we talked multiple times through social media and over the phone. Plus, neither of us ever ran out of wildly offensive memes to share with each other, and we shared an affinity for things like Ron White comedy specials and the Bill Burr Netflix series F is for Family. His death came as a shock to me. He had been sick and in and out of the hospital for a few months, but I just expected him to pull through. The last time we talked was about a week and a half before it happened, and I told him things would get better. I'd been in his boat plenty of times before, and I always recovered. It's how it always went. I'd come down with pneumonia or something similar, check into the hospital and see that my oxygen levels were dangerously low, spend the next few weeks coughing up all kinds of junk, and then eventually bounce back. That's always been my narrative, and I just assumed that it'd be the same for Carson. Then it happened. Carson died just a few days before his 22nd birthday, and I was reminded of just how cruel and complex SMA can be. Its cruelty reveals itself in times like this, and in its complexity stares me in the face every day. Since I started this column in 2017, one of my underlying goals has been to help people understand that living with SMA is more nuanced than most people think, And it's not all misery and hospitalizations. Life with SMA is an amalgamation of beauty, tragedy, frustration, hope, humor, sorrow, pain, joy, routine, adventure, and everything in between. If it hadn't been for SMA, Carson and I would have never met and been able to bounce disability jokes off one another. I imagine that if Carson were still here, he wouldn't want me to wallow in misery over the fact that his life ended so soon. It may have been short, but it was a full life nonetheless. Carson's wit, humor, and zest for life affected many people, myself included. I will miss him, but I know that the best way to honor him is to keep living. He may be gone, but someone has to keep writing about the lovely intricacies of topics like diarrhea and disability, urology, and the awkwardness of having an attractive nurse handle your catheter. Rest in peace, brother.
Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Forums and Multimedia Director.